So thank you, Eric. We're going to go and take some callers. So we have Frank from Woodland Hills.
I got a correction that apparently, and I don't have that fact any more than mine, but it said that he was born in 1929. He would have been 76 on the 15th, not 72. So thanks a lot.
So Frank, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I've been enjoying the show. I have great respect for Martin Luther King. I just wanted to say something to the guest. I mean, he made a comment that, you know, if you're a Christian or if in spiritual or if you're an atheist, implying that atheists aren't spiritual. And, you know, Buddhists are atheists, essentially. I mean, they don't believe in God. And, you know, I'm an atheist myself, and I think that I'm a very spiritual person. I think there's a lot of religious people out there who are not spiritual at all. So I just wanted to make that that comment.
Okay. I think that's, you're absolutely right. You know, not every formulation is, I consider myself an atheist and a very spiritual person as well. You have to figure what is the main, of the 10 points I was trying to make, that was hardly central to it. But thank you for the correction. Next caller.
So we have Toliba from West LA. Is that the correct pronunciation of your name?
Toliba, yes.
Okay, welcome to the show.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Toliba.
I like your understanding of Dr. King. And I'm one of those persons who had that opportunity to be on that march on Washington. I look forward for one of the coming one that didn't ever take place. I understand what this guy said, but Dr. King included everyone when he used the word atheist, and I know you're very spiritual, Eric Mann, so I really appreciate your diligently your work with the bus riders union, et cetera, the whole gamut, but I really like your show. Now, back to this here parade. It's a disgrace. To me, it showed the crucifixion of Christ when he went through Jerusalem, you know, and all these people out here to Tinkleton Parade. It's time for us to take over this here parade and revamp it and reshape it. It really is. We need some strong organizing. I just went from out there, and I've been demonstrating against the military and the police for over 10 years, a loner, until finally, you know, October the 22nd got in there. Supposed to have been another coalition out there today. I don't know, Spanish coalition, coalition against the military. So I don't know if they were there, but my heart went out to see sleeping people out there, dead people, clapping, and we had X number of people that never had been in that parade. It's just it's a Hollywood parade. It's a control parade. And we need to see more grassroots people really on that ground to dismantle the show of that parade. No way would they allow that.
You're absolutely right.
Well, my concern is the
military, someone said that,
you know?
There's even a military presence. Was there a military presence in the parade today?
Yes, and the police came and did an occupation right there at the corner of 43rd and Leimert. They actually lined up as an occupation. Well, it was time for me to start moving out, but I was out there on the bullhorn in Leimert and 43rd. And I had to.
It's real interesting how the three things he was talking about, racism, militarism, and economic exploitation, you got the police and the ROTC probably occupying the community.
Oh,
and then
did.
McDonald's, I'm sure, is sponsoring something, right?
The Masonic Lodge was there, you know, all of us was there. And so, I just dread to see the military and the police, which we all know is federalized now.
Taliba, thank you very much.
I'm on the megahorn today.
What we're going to do, Taliba, is I think by next year, I mean it, I'm sure it's not coming out of voices from the front lines, but we may have to have a progressive contingent in what was once a progressive parade.
We must.
And I think that you could help us. You're a real fighter. I know who you are.
Right.
I'm going to move to the next call if it's okay.
Can I say this one last comment?
Get your last one in, but I've got to get to the next call.
I have challenged the people in the parade, you know, the city council, et cetera. We need to challenge those people to come out. Okay, then, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, turning King into a commodity. Who's the next caller? Do we have a name up there on the board? Is it Joshua?
Joshua from San Pedro.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, Joshua, you got to turn down your radio.
Oh, my bad. I apologize. Yeah, I just have one comment, is that that last lady that was just speaking, we are the revolutionaries. People like normal people, everyday people like me and you. You guys have an excellent program on KPFK. If people start listening more to KPFK, they would understand what's going on in this in the world today. And pretty much, I just wanted to say another thing that I think if Martin Luther King was around still today, I do believe like he would probably be an MC on the hip hop mic or something. Yeah. I swear. But thanks. Keep doing what you guys are doing, and I appreciate it.
Joshua, thank you. Listen, Monday at 4, Voices from the Frontlines. Tell your boss, if you got a job, tell him your day ends Monday at 4. And help us get some more people on to listen to the show.
Yes.
And 7 to 9, tonight is the King. 7 to 9, everybody, make it your business. Tape it. Just that's where you're going to be tonight at 7 o'clock. KPFK. All right, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. So we're going to go to Neff from Los Angeles. Neff, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. I think Martin Luther King, when he started off as civil rights leader, really progressed to anti-war. And I'm sure if he had continued, he would have been there with Cesar Chavez leading the marches to be an advocate for the farm workers. And where do you see the trajectory for Martin Luther King if he had continued?
Well, I think that Martin, this is Eric Mann, one of the co-hosts, and I'm here with my co-host Damon Azali. You're on Voices from the Frontline, 90.7 FM, KPFK. Boy, you know, trying to figure out a human being's trajectory is so hard. But I will say this, you know, the two most religious in the good sense of the word spiritual people I've ever known in the church are Dr. Martin Luther King and Father Luis Olivares, who was the pastor at La Placita Church. If anybody could have resisted this rightward turn in this country, could have been willing to watch his base get smaller and still stay as a voice of anti-racism and anti-imperialism separate from the Democratic Party, I believe it would have been Dr. King, a lot because of his spiritual values, and they're just great men and women. You know, the killing, the assassination of leaders is a big thing because we want to believe that it doesn't matter who the leaders are. But history, you know, Amilcar Cabral was a great leader. He was assassinated. King was assassinated. The Kennedys were assassinated. Malcolm was assassinated. It would be really fascinating to see what would happen in history if they were all alive today. But I think of all of them, that King and Malcolm were, you know, tied to their own social movements, were great leaders of the whole 20th century, and I think he still could be a great leader today.
Was Malcolm so far away and vice versa from Martin Luther King?
Well, you know, I look forward to reading Manning Marable's book on Malcolm X, because I think Manning will, I'm sure, address not just sort of metaphysically or philosophically. I was there at the time, and I think in my own, this is my own interpretation, they're very different people coming out of a very different tradition, but they were moving in an increasingly similar trajectory at the time of both of their deaths. Not so much because Malcolm was, you know, the way that everything gets so distorted. Well, Malcolm came to like white people. That was low on the list of what was going on. Malcolm began to realize that white people as a group were not the primary enemy, but imperialism was the primary enemy. Malcolm went and met with, in Ghana with, help me.
Kwame
Nkrumah. He read books on neocolonialism. His trip to Africa was not simply about that he saw a fair-skinned Muslim and he realized he shouldn't hate all white people, but mainly Malcolm met SNCC kids, Student Nonviolent Coordinating people, they who had never met before. They met in Africa. So I think that both Malcolm and King were works in progress, and their assassination is something we're suffering for today.
All right, thanks, Nan, for your call. And up next we have Muhammad from Los Angeles.
Peace, my brothers. Yes, sir. Just to tag on what you just said, most people don't know that Dr. King also went to Ghana, I think it was in 57, for the presidential inauguration there.
That's right.
And that there was a speech that he gave my brother that was very powerful and that we all could really benefit from. And just to also make a quick comment on what the previous caller stated as far as where was Dr. King going, me being a Muslim, that in 67, when he met with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's exactly what it was that they were starting to see the, synthesis of the problems that will go for all of us.
I think you got cut off, but I think his last point is a good one. I think in 1970, Amiri Baraka in Gary, Indiana, organized a Black United Front meeting that was rather incredible. And I think by 1970, I also urge you to go back and read those papers, which I think is in one of Clay Carson's Civil Rights Readers. There was the beginning of a radical Black United Front. At that point, of course, both King and Malcolm were dead. And Amiri Baraka is another person who you should look to, who's done a tremendous job of trying to bring together Muslims, Christians, people of different faith and spiritual and secular organizers, who's played a tremendous United Front role in the Black community. Joanna is our next and last call because we still have
Stephanie
from Death Penalty Focus, and there's a brother on death row that we want to try to help out on, certainly on King Day. We don't want to just keep talking. So, Joni, I'm sorry, is that your name?
Oh, yes, it's Joni.
Joni, hi, Joni. I'm Eric. This is Damon. Welcome to the show.
Hi, and thank you very much for your show. I really enjoy it, a lot of the comments, and this is interesting material that Eric Manish brought up about Dr. King. I do have just a quick comment, and that is in support of the first caller. I watched the parade on television, so, of course, I didn't get the atmosphere that she was actually there. But I really was appalled to see several military units in there. I didn't see a float with the progressives on there with no war in Iraq, bring the troops home, the attack on Haiti, or any speakers that were actually talking about the things going on now that Dr. King was protesting against then.
Well, Joni, let me end by saying this, because I'm not, Damon does a lot of the work in the South LA area, and I think one of the things we need to do for next year is this. We ended by saying that 1963, John Lewis of SNCC tried to give a very radical speech. He talked about marching a black march through the South, like Sherman marched through the South during the Civil War, and that was taken out of his speech. I don't know if the organizers of the King Day Parade are so repressive that they'll not just invite the military, but keep out the anti-military. That they just won't invite Toyota or other corporations in, but they won't allow the anti-corporates in. So I think that we have a year. It's a serious conversation. We will be back here on King Day 2006. And I think it's a very serious issue. It's one thing for other people to try to commercialize and sabotage Dr. King's memory. It's another thing for those of us who want to fight for it to not play a more active role on the King Day Parade. So, Joni, your point is well taken. I hope you'll come out. I think you're from Pomona.
Mm-hmm.
And we will start next year getting our act together on this, and it'll be on the Voices from the Frontline show at 4 o'clock, urging people to come to the King March, and we will, Damon himself has pledged to organize.
Telepathically.
Right. To organize a progressive delegation to the March next year.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling, and stay in touch with Voices from the Frontline Monday at 4.
And you're listening to KPFK 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. And we are about to be on the phone with Stephanie Fauché from Death Penalty Focus just after this break.
Pockets and coats of judges and jurors from Frisco to Jersey. Threats and protests, politicians, mob debts, trumped up charges and phony arrests. They delete and inject.